Some time ago, my friend Mike called me and said,
Steve, I have a message for you. You have to make a podcast. It's very important. Do it now.
And I said, okay, I will. Can you provide me with extra time to do that during my busy schedule? He said he couldn't do that. But then I managed to free up some time. So here's my podcast, Audio Chimera.
With a still lingering cold, this is episode number 3, Memorable Musical Performances. Sometimes as a theater person, I feel a little jealous of musicians. The guy with the guitar always got the girl when I was in college. And then you put a band in front of a crowd of people and they go crazy. It would be hard to do a huge theater festival the way you can do a mammoth musical festival like Wacken Open Air. I've rarely seen people respond to a play, even a musical, with the incredible outpouring of emotional enthusiasm that one might see at a concert. But then again, we theater people can just get up in front of others and use words and actions with no instrument other than our bodies and voices and captivate people. So maybe we're even. And I can spend a lot of minutes talking about transcendent moments in the theater, but I thought I might save those for a later series. In the meantime, let me tell you about 3 particular live music events that I attended at which some sort of transformative experience occurred for me. Wow. What an academic-sounding sentence for a topic with such an emotional basis. Anyway, I would identify the first of these experiences as the Stephen Wilson concert in June of 2015 at the Palace Theater in Greensburg, PA. The Palace is a great historic theater, housed in the Manos Building, which always makes me think of the film Manos, Hands of Fate. If you are going to check this film out, watch the Mystery Science Theater 3000 version. Torgo will bring pizza, and the master will not be pleased. I had seen Stephen Wilson several times before, having discovered him through, of all ways, an interview on NPR's All Things Considered. He was talking about the inspiration for the Porcupine Tree album, The Incident. I sought out the music on iTunes and quickly discovered that I loved Porcupine Tree. When they came to a small Pittsburgh venue, or a Mijou one, as Wilson described it from the stage, I had to attend. I saw The Incident show as well as their next tour, which I think was The Raven Refused to Sing. The musicianship and performances were first rate, but marred for me by the venue being a standing venue. With plantar fasciitis, I am not the best at being on my feet for long periods of time, so this dealt a severe blow to my enjoyment level. But at the Palace, I was seated in row 4. Sure, they added a couple of rows in front of row 1, but I was still incredibly close. I could relax and enjoy Hand Cannot Erase. From the opening video through the songs, the lighting, and the film accompanying the song routine, which even now brings tears to my eyes when I watch it, I was enthralled. And Wilson himself seemed more accessible, more than ever inhabiting the role of raconteur troubadour, if I may steal a title from another progressive rock song. It was a thoroughly enjoyable show from start to finish. And then I failed to meet him in the lobby afterward. More missed opportunities. But I still carry the memories of that show. And I have the t-shirt. For the second memorable performance, I need to go back a few years to Rozfest, or the Rites of Spring Festival in Gettysburg, PA. I've only been able to attend twice, once in 2011 and again in 2012. To get my money's worth, I went to see almost every band performing over each weekend, but the greatest standout to me in 2011 was a Polish band named Quidam. I enjoy the music, in spite of being terribly distracted by a couple sitting in front of me. They had this huge freaking camera and would take a photo and then lean together to look at the shot, effectively blocking my view of the stage. They kept moving incessantly, and I felt like I was watching the performance through a constantly opening and closing shutter. And then the lead singer urged us all to stand up, and we're at a concert, so we did. And this confounded the photographers because the people in front of them were taller than they were, and they suddenly couldn't see. But they still wanted photos, so they left for the aisle. Good. And then came the transcendent moment. During one of the songs, when each of the musicians finished a passage, and there was a vocalist, guitarist, bassist, keyboardist, violinist, and drummer, they each came and sat down on the edge of the stage, legs dangling, looking at us. The music slowly diminished in volume, and they sat with us, all of us sharing a communal moment together. And isn't that what art is supposed to be? The audience and I went crazy for it. As far as I know, the photographers just went crazy. And now, number three. First, let me grab the wheel and go off-roading for a moment. Almost every semester when I teach intro to theater, I have students who complain on the faculty evaluation forms about me making them go to the theater. I require attendance at a Pittsburgh Public Theater production and the campus theater production. And this drives them nuts. Why would I do this? Why does the theater professor make them go to the theater for a theater class? Imagine! When I was grumbling about this one time, my wife said, "Well, what if you were taking a football class and had to go to a football game?" And my response was, "Well, I wouldn't take that class. But if I did and I had to go, I would go because it was required, or I would lose the points and not complain." The irascible old guy in me wants to say, "You know, in my day, when I took intro to theater, I had to see 5 shows, and I had to pay $75 for the tickets for them." But I don't bother, and instead muse on the fact that 40 years later, student tickets are still only $15. Now, do I understand why they feel the way they do? Yes. As an undergrad theater major, I had to take a music appreciation class that required me to attend 2 outside musical performances. I was offended. "You want me to spend my time going to things outside of class?" Yes, this is exactly what some of my students complain about. To mitigate the damage to my soul, I chose 2 free performances on the campus. One was a grad student's vocal recital. This one baffled me, in a way. She came out with her accompanist, sang a piece, bowed, and left the stage. Wow, that was short. But no one moved, so I sat there. Then she returned with her accompanist and sang another piece. And then they left the stage again. I began to realize this must be what they do. I was also equally confounded by the repeated returns and bows at the end. Why not just stay on the stage? This was way before a Fitbit would be counting her steps. As it turns out, the experience perfectly prepared me to deal with my students later on who would have the same response to multiple curtain calls at symphony concerts. And then there was Stravinsky's Firebird Suite. I was familiar with it from its use on the live Yes album, Yes Songs, as it leads into Siberian Katru. The Temple University Orchestra was playing it in one of the campus's buildings, an old converted church, so the acoustics were amazing. And the music? Incredible. I was overwhelmed, transported. The music surrounded me and filled me. I don't have to remember a single note of that performance, but the memory of it puts me back in that church, in that performance, and I feel the sheer ecstasy and joy of it once again. Talk about emotional memory. So I tell my students, yes, you have to go to the theater. You might enjoy it, or you might not. But you will have gone and experienced it. And just like that concert for me so many years ago, you may find some moment, no matter how brief, of utter joy. Be open to that. Be open to joy. You never know where it might be lurking. Anything you want to hear more about from this podcast? I can elaborate. Just send your request to Stephen Schrum at museoffire.com. That's StephenSchrum at museoffire, MUSOFYR.com. Or leave a message at 724-835-4074 and I'll see what I can do. I receive no cash for products I mentioned, but please feel free to throw money at me to advertise here. For more information on my works, check out my website, museoffire.com. For written works, search for me on Smashwords as Stephen Schrum or Museoffire, or find me on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. This is Stephen Schrum.
Thanks for listening to Audio Chimera.